When one thinks of Sara Imenu, one thinks of the ultimate tzaddikas, the ultimate matriarch, the loving wife of Avram, one of the greatest women in the history of our planet. But what's peculiar is that when one looks at the Torah itself, it seems to give off a very different impression. When one reads the psukim, you would find nothing about any kiruv conventions and seminars or chalabiks or Torah tours. There's not a single mention of any overt act of chesed she did, any community work she did. In fact, the Torah seems to paint Sarah completely differently. The very first time the Torah mentions Sarah, it calls her the name Yiska, which means to gaze. And Rashi explains that she was so attractive that people would stare at her. This is the very first thing the Torah says about Sarah, which is odd, because when we think of a tzaddikas, we don't exactly think of this attractive woman who people can't stop staring at. It strangely seems that her beauty was so much part of her identity that even her name Yiska alluded to it. How does that fit with our holy perception we have of her? And the next time the Torah talks about her, Sarah gets kidnapped and almost violated by Paro, and in order to save herself, she lies and says that Avram is her brother. Then the story goes on to say that she despised Avram's concubine Hagar and began to torture her to the point that Hagar ran away into the desert to flee from the pain. Again, not exactly what we would think a tzaddikas would do. And next, when she's told that she will finally have a child, she laughs, seemingly not having faith that she can bear children, and when she asked whether or not she laughed, she denies it. It just seems strange to us. Again, not exactly the way our Moras portrayed Sarah when we were younger. And then again she gets kidnapped due to her beauty, and again she almost gets violated, and then she sees her stepson Yishmael being a naughty boy, and she kicks him out of the household to live in the desert, in which he and his mother Hagar almost die for the second time. And finally, when she hears the news that her husband considered slaughtering her son Yitzchak on the altar, before she hears that her son wasn't ultimately slaughtered, she dies out of shock, and thus concludes the life of Sarah. It just seems strange. Where are the psukim talking about her tremendous tzidkus? Where are the psukim talking about her tremendous chesed and tefillah? Where are the psukim talking about all the people she went out and was makariv? All we see is a woman who is extremely attractive, who sent her maidservant away twice, who laughed at the thought that Hashem would give her a child, and then denied having done so. What is going on over here? In truth, we know, of course, that Sarah was the ultimate matriarch, and her righteousness knew no bounds. The Torah Shebaal Peh tells us that she would go around with Avram and diligently teach the ways of Hashem and purity to all the women around her, and she created a tremendous following, which is alluded to in the Psukim. And we're told that the level of Ruach HaKadosh and Nevuah that she attained was even greater than Avram's. The power of her prayer pierced the heavens. So you're going to ask, okay, great. Fine, very nice that the Midrashim and the Gemaras tell us that she was a tzaddikas. Why doesn't the Torah explicitly tell us exactly what she did? Why doesn't the Torah tell us explicitly about her greatness, about all the wonderful deeds she did, about how caring and loving she was? Why only allude to it? The answer to this entire quandary, I believe, lies in one pasuk in Vayera, Yud Ches Tes. It says, "Vayomer elav aye Sara ishtecha, vayomer hine ba'oyel." When Avram is recovering from his bris milah, he's visited by three angels, and he serves them a feast. And the angels turn to Avram, and they ask him a question that they already know the answer to. They ask him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" Now, if they knew the answer to the question, why were they asking? So Rashi explains they were asking this question in order that Avram should think that when he responds that she is Ba'al, she is in the tent, he should internalize, wait a minute, she's in the tent, she's in the kitchen, she is Tzanua, she is modest, she is pure, she doesn't look for fame and recognition. She keeps the world running while remaining in her home, taking care of her Beis HaMikdash Ma'at. That's her praise. That is her ultimate praiseworthy personality trait. That's what the Torah wants to emphasize. The angels wanted to tell Avram and subsequently all husbands as well as women for the rest of time that a woman is praised for her modesty above all else. She does not choose the spotlight. She does not use her profession as the makeup of her identity. True, she lives her life doing as much good as possible, and she brings as much love into her home and to the world around her as possible, but the ultimate is her modesty. The ultimate is her attachment to her husband and to her family. She is confident that it's what on the inside of her that counts. She knows there is a treasure chest of Kedusha that's stored inside of her, and she will protect it at all costs. The very name the Torah calls Sarah is Yiska, not because she was so attractive that people couldn't stop looking at her, which implies that she was out there immodestly attracting attention to her beauty. No. But rather, the Sifsei Chacham in Megillah Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph says, it means people couldn't stop talking about her beauty. Her beauty was world famous, and yet she still stayed in her tent. She still kept to herself. She didn't go out there and get head turns. So impressive was the fact that she stayed modest, even though her beauty was world famous. It was world renowned that the Torah calls her Yiska, the one people tried to look at. The one who, despite having world-class beauty, felt comfortable staying home, focusing on things that really matter. So mysterious was her beauty that kings the world over could not function until they saw it for themselves. Yet so important was it to her to maintain her holiness and modesty that she was willing to lie to maintain it. So important to her that she give over to the next generation the lessons she had to offer and the holiness she built inside of her house, that she was crushed when it seemed that Avraham might live the rest of his life with Hagar, a woman from Egypt, not equipped with the same modesty and purity as Sarah. Sarah saw in Hagar a threat of bequeathing mediocre qualities of modesty and holiness to the next generation and thus producing a world of spiritual mediocrity. Sarah felt forced to do something about it. How could Klal Yisrael look up to Hagar as their matriarch? And so she made the bitter decision to remove Hagar from the house. She was well aware that this wasn't merely a decision for her household, but for households of Jewish families destined to come out of Avram for millennia. How it pained Sarah to think that Jewish families will look up to Hagar as their paradigm. And years later, when she saw that Yishmael was acting in a way that contradicted her level of holiness and purity and modesty, she felt the need to do what was immensely difficult. To remove the source of the bad influence that would potentially inject venom into the holy Yitzchak she was so painstakingly raising. And then, when she heard that her son gave up his life for the service of Hashem, she was so overcome with emotion and pride that her soul literally floated out of her body and returned to heaven. The Torah doesn't openly rattle off Sarah's character traits, because by doing so, it would be the very antithesis of her character. She was modest. She was private. She was the mother of a dynasty of women who would lead heroic lives without fanfare or fame. She was the mother of our mothers who relentlessly injected holiness into our homes despite the tsunami of impurity raging outside. And so, Parshas Chayei Sarah begins, and it says that Sarah lived 127 years. And Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch points out that nowhere else in the entire Tanakh does it record the age of a woman. This is the only time in the entire Tanakh where a woman's age is recorded. And it records the ages of men all the time, never a woman. Sarah is the only exception. And Reb Hirsch explains that the reason for this is because the purpose of a woman is not to be on display. No, a woman's life is private, and saying a woman's age would be sort of a contradiction to this. And yet Sarah was so modest and so respectful, so precious and pure, that even recording her age, something the Torah would never do, isn't a breach in privacy. That's the level she was on. The Torah tells us her age and famously splits it up to tell us that no matter what stage in her life, She remained the same pure, holy, and modest Sara. This is the lesson we learn from Sara Imenu, Sara our mother, Sara who showed us what a mother is, a beacon of holiness, Sara who showed us that a mother must stand up for purity, Sara who showed us that a mother must stand up for the sanctity of her children. Now more than ever do our children desperately need this. Now more than ever, our children need their mothers to be like Sarah.